Genesis 13 on Through the Word as we follow Abram back to where he started. Sometimes you just need to go back where you started from. Not back where you were born, but back to the start of a journey. Or better yet, to a place of commitment. Back to the place where you first committed yourself to the road less traveled, to your walk with God. For Abram, that place is an altar. We're following Abram on a long journey as he followed the call of God to the land that God promised. He arrived there in Canaan, but then left for Egypt on an unfortunate detour. Let's join back with Abram in verse 1. So Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the Negev. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. So it looks like Abram is back into the land that God promised, and now he's got some riches with him. Sounds like a blessing, and sometimes it's a test. We'll see how those riches work out for him as we move on. Then back in verse 3, and he journeyed on from the Negev as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first, and there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. So Abram is back at Bethel. Bethel means house of God, which is fitting. It's the place where Abram built his first altar. An altar is a place of sacrifice. It's a place of commitment for Abram. He's going back to the place of commitment and sacrifice to remember, to never forget the promises made. For me, this is sort of like returning to the altar where I married my bride, remembering the promises made, the cost counted, and gladly paid. If you're married, when was the last time you read your vows, your promises, your richer and poorer, your sickness and in health? I remember the place where we first flirted. I remember the first I love yous. It was on the phone. I remember the first promises, and I remember the altar. I remember the bride all in white. I remember each promise, and I intend to keep every one. So what about Jesus? Do you ever come back to the first altar where perfect love first broke your heart? I hope you do. That's what communion table is for. See, at communion, Jesus calls us back to the altar, to the cross where Jesus committed to us and where we committed to him. That's why Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So that's where Abram is at. He's back to his first altar, calling again on the name of the Lord. But he's not there alone. Check out verse 5. And Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, so that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. So Abram's nephew Lot is still tracking with him in this journey of following God. It seems that both Lot's family and Abram's family have gotten rich. Lots of sheep, lots of cattle, and not enough room. There's a very telling phrase at the end of verse 6, "For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together." That phrase is probably on the epitaph of many a marriage. You know, it's sad. Nobody here said, you know, we could get rid of possessions and keep family and friends. Rather, they decided to hold on to those possessions. Then in verse 8, "Then Abram said to Lot, 'Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen. Is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left.'" There's some great wisdom here from Abram, with a healthy dose of humility. Abram knows that family is always more important than the fight. That which ties us together is always greater than what we fight over. Proverbs 17:14 says, "Starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out." So Abram is the voice of wisdom here, and his humility shines through as he lets the younger man Lot choose first where he will live. In verse 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere like the garden of the Lord." Then down in verse 11, "So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other." The real key phrase there is "Lot chose for himself." The story of Lot is an interesting one, and a heartbreaker. We know from 2 Peter that Lot was a righteous man. He was a good guy. He was following after Abram, and he was following after God, leading his family, doing well in the world. But his story goes south, or I should say east, towards Sodom. Read with me in verse 12. "Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled among the cities of the valley, and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. The story of Lot is the story of a righteous man gone wrong. He never really walks away from God. He just walks a little too close to the world. See, Sodom was a wicked, wicked place, but the land around it was lush and beautiful. And it doesn't say that Lot and his family moved into Sodom, not yet anyway, just says that they moved near Sodom. When you hear the story of a good man failing, when the mighty have fallen, you can bet that there was a moment somewhere in his story when he set up shop near Sodom. Lot is the quintessential backslider, and his story should be a warning for all of us. Watch yourself. Don't get yourself as close as you can to the world and to sin. Be careful that you don't lift up your eyes and choose for yourself. At this point, Lot's doing all right. He hasn't really fallen yet, and he never really will fall completely off the walk with God. His family, however, well, we shall see. As for Abram, let's catch up with him at verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever." Here, God is renewing the covenant with Abram. Remember that Abram went back to the first altar, back to call on the name of the Lord again, sort of like renewing his vows. Well, God didn't respond right away, perhaps because of the strife. Remember what Jesus says about the altar. In Matthew 5:23, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift." Abram did just that. And here God responds by renewing his own vows. All the land, not just to the east, but to the east, west, north, and south, will belong to your offspring forever, and your offspring will be countless. This is quite a promise to Abram, who had no children at the time. Abram was called to a walk of faith. And speaking of walk, check out verse 17. "Arise, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, for I will give it to you." So God says go for a walk, and this is what I call a real faith walk. Go walk through the land, even though it's not yours yet, but trust by my promise that this land is yours. I am giving it to you, says the Lord. Do you ever walk through what God has promised you? Do you ever just enjoy it all? Think through all the things that you're promised. You don't have them yet, but walk through them by faith, knowing that the Lord will keep his every promise. So Abram got started on that walk, and he moved his tents. In the last verse, wouldn't you know it, he built another altar. Abram's whole life seems to be defined by moving tents and building altars. This is the walk of faith. As Hebrews 11 tells us of Abram, "By faith he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God."
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.